Hello, and welcome to The Wavelength, Avonhurst's global political strategy podcast. Every month, we highlight a diverse range of emerging international developments and the potential effects on economies and societies. In the current global geopolitical climate, against the backdrop of constantly evolving political agendas, legislative and political risk seem more important than ever. Leading the conversation is Tina Fordham, our very own head of global political strategy, industry leader, and Avonhurst partner. Today, we look at the extraordinary events of January the 6th in Washington, D.C. We'll focus on the financial market and political risk implications, plus a look ahead at the future trajectory. Tina, details of that siege of the US Capitol building are still emerging, but most people around the world would agree that those chaotic scenes were something of a shock. So the big question is, what happens next?
Congress is in recess until January 19th, and that's just the day before Inauguration Day, when President-elect Joe Biden will take office. So there are just a few days left in President Trump's term. Here are what the procedural options are. First, and we've already seen this process starting, Democrats will attempt to pressure Vice President Pence and Republicans to hold the president accountable by moving that the vice president invoke the 25th Amendment to remove him from office. Now, the 25th Amendment came about after the assassination of John F. Kennedy, to provide an option for times when the president was incapacitated. For various reasons, I don't think the Democrats' attempt to pressure Republicans to invoke the 25th Amendment will ultimately be successful. So what other options are there? Well, the next one will be a second impeachment attempt. And we can already see that those papers are being drawn up as we speak, and that's on the assumption that invoking the 25th Amendment will fail. However, Democrats don't have the votes to secure impeachment. They didn't have them the first time, they don't have them the second time, and they won't have them even once the new members, the new Democratic members of the Senate, take office. You need a two-thirds majority in the United States to secure impeachment, and that would involve a very significant number of Republican defections. Nevertheless, following those scenes of chaos and destruction in the Capitol, Democrats are very much minded now to press for accountability, and U.S. public opinion, after initially still falling under strictly partisan lines, also seems in favor of some type of action. But it's going to be very difficult to get agreement. That's one byproduct of an extremely polarized and divided country. One option that I think we're going to start to hear more about is invoking the 14th Amendment, Section 3 of the 14th Amendment, and that relates to the removal of members who have engaged in insurrection or rebellion. This goes back to the 19th century in America. The reason why I think this has a reasonable chance of being put into practice is that it would have a couple of functions that might make it more politically palatable, and that is that it would bar President Trump for future office, and that might appeal to Republicans who are concerned that the president could return in 2024 and divide the Republican Party.
And Tina, it seems as though markets were unfazed by those events in Washington. Can you tell us why you think that is?
Yes, well, a lot happened on January 6th. It was really an extraordinary day in U.S. politics. If we think about it, seems almost like ancient history. But on the 5th, we had the two Senate runoff races. And when we woke up January 6th, it looked like one or both of those two Senate seats in Georgia might flip to blue. And I think the very short explanation is that financial markets have chosen to focus on the earlier political news that day, which is that Democrats would have enough of a majority in Congress to pass a much more substantial fiscal stimulus package. And so that good news is what overtook the much greater uncertainty coming out of Washington later that day. And of course, markets have been in a very bullish mood. If we think back to earlier this year and the Black Lives Matter protests, those might also have focused investors' minds and didn't. What you really see is a discount at play for U.S. Domestic turmoil. So with that in mind, I think we also have to use a couple of other terms when we look at the market response. One is optimism bias, and another is confirmation bias. American investors still seem to focus on the fundamentals at home and worry much more about political risks abroad.
So with all of this in mind, what might happen with the Biden-Harris presidency taking office in the midst of so much turmoil and division?
Well, President Biden takes office with the largest number of popular votes in American history, seconded only by outgoing President Trump himself, of course, given the high turnout in this election, a deeply divided nation, and greatly compromised legitimacy. Even though the Trump campaign's more than 50 legal challenges to the legitimacy of the elections all failed, almost half of U.S. Republicans believe that the election was illegitimate. And that will undermine his ability to govern and to move forward on some of the more ambitious and progressive items on Democrats' agenda. That might comfort investors in many ways. But one thing has really changed since the Capitol siege, and that is that the Democrats who were pressing for more attempts to charge President Trump, possibly with federal crimes, now have more wind in their sails, and demands for accountability have taken on much greater significance. A lot of Republicans would like to see this blow over, arguing that it undermines future unity. But I think from a political science perspective and a political risk perspective that some type of formal process looking at accountability and perhaps a 9/11 style review is going to be important if we're going to move on from these divisions and if the United States is going to continue to hold itself out as a paragon of democracy. I'm a big fan of the work of the political scientist Jay Ulfelder, who's written about the risk of democratic breakdown if nothing happens. The U.S. international reputation abroad has suffered in the face of its COVID response and also following these scenes. And that is also going to compromise what the Biden administration can do with U.S. allies and also risks getting some heat from adversaries. Finally, and this is a long-term risk, but one that I've written about a lot, we shouldn't assume that these kinds of complications only happen in faraway places. The United States has independent institutions and a history of rule of law, but ungovernability and rich failed states are a real phenomenon. And I would close by saying we can't take either democracy or the functioning of free trade and financial markets for granted. We need that democratic infrastructure for everything to function.
That was The Wavelength. We hope you enjoyed the podcast. If you'd like to find out more about Avenhurst, you can find us at www.avenhurst.com. And we look forward to welcoming you next time.